Thank you, Steve. Yesterday, I think many of you might have heard similar talk about impact of rotavirus vaccination in the United States, and today we'll discuss pretty much impact of rotavirus vaccination in Latin America. And no rotavirus talk is complete without this slide by Umesh Parashar, which depicts that rotavirus causes approximately 500,000 childhood deaths annually under five. And I think it's important to note that a majority of these deaths, as with other childhood diseases, occur in Asia and Africa. 85% of these deaths occur in the continents of Asia and Africa. But if you note, a fair amount of these deaths also occur in Latin America, approximately anywhere from 30 to 40,000 of these deaths are in Latin America per year amongst children under five. While the majority of these deaths do occur in developing countries, as far as severe rotavirus disease and hospitalizations is concerned, the burden of disease is pretty similar in industrialized and developing countries. If you look at all children under five who are admitted to the hospital for diarrhea, anywhere from a third to a half of these children tend to have lab-confirmed rotavirus disease, and it's pretty similar in most settings, developing or industrialized. These two slides really have sort of summarized the basis, the epidemiologic disease burden basis for vaccine development and made the case for vaccination. And as you know, we now have two rotavirus vaccines in the pipeline. We have a pentavalent vaccine known as Rotatec by Merck and Company, and a monovalent vaccine, Rotarix, by GSK. I'll refer to these as RV5 and RV1. These vaccines are fundamentally different vaccines in that the RV5 is a bovine human reassortant that doesn't really replicate much in the gut and thus has five human strains, G1, G3, G2, G4, and P8. These five components form the basis of this vaccine. The monovalent Rotarix vaccine is a live human strain, a strain that causes human disease, but it's sufficiently attenuated where it doesn't cause human disease but continues to modulate immunity. Both of these vaccines have been tested now in a wide variety of settings, industrialized and developing. And two studies published, pivotal trials that were published in New England Journal in 2006, showed that efficacy of these vaccines in middle and high income industrialized settings was very high, anywhere from 85 to 96%. Recently, more in the past year, both of these vaccines have been tested in Asia and Africa, and these efficacy trials have been published or presented. And what you see here is that efficacy is somewhat lower than in industrialized countries, ranging from 50 to 70%. And similar to other oral vaccines, OPV, typhoid, and other oral rotavirus vaccines previously, there is this sort of gradient of efficacy that correlates with socioeconomic status. The poorer the country, the lower the efficacy. On the basis of, you know, these encouraging efficacy trials, WHO in 2006 recommended rotavirus vaccination for Latin America and Eastern Europe initially, because that's the part of the world where the trials were initially conducted. And then subsequent to the recent trials in Asia and Africa, as well as the impact data, which I'll show you from Latin America, these were considered by WHO SAGE in June 2009, and subsequent to that consideration, WHO expanded the immunization recommendation globally to all children in Asia, Africa, as well as Latin America. Since 2006, majority of the countries in the Americas have introduced either the Rotatec or the Rotarix vaccination. A few countries have not, but as many of you know, in Latin America, there's sort of a range of socioeconomic status, countries with a range of socioeconomic status from low income to low middle income to high income countries. So this really provides a nice sort of setting, heterogeneity of income status to sort of assess how would these vaccines perform post-licensure. And for the purposes of this talk, there's two issues of priority that I want to highlight. One is obviously the performance of the vaccine in routine use. We know that effectiveness can sometimes differ than efficacy, sometimes can be lower and other times higher, depending on whether you might see indirect benefits. The second point that I want to talk about is the impact on diarrhea mortality. This is something that was not assessed in clinical trials, and so I think it is important for us to assess that post-licensure. Focusing first on two countries, El Salvador and Nicaragua, these are two countries in Central America that are pretty small compared to the United States and Mexico. The birth cohort for these countries is around 150,000. The gross national income of these two countries are different socioeconomically. El Salvador is considered a middle-income country with a gross national income of nearly $3,000, and Nicaragua is a poor country, low-income, with a gross national income just below $1,000. El Salvador introduced the monovalent vaccine, and Nicaragua chose to introduce the pentavalent vaccine. They were introduced at the same time in October 2006, and both were administered with the EPI schedule at 2 and 4 months, or 2, 4, and 6 months, concomitantly with other EPI vaccines. We conducted a case control vaccine effectiveness evaluation in both these countries using active surveillance platform for diarrhea among children under 5 years of age. Our cases were children who were admitted overnight for lab-confirmed rotavirus diarrhea. We had nearly 300 cases in both settings. We had three controls per case, and they were matched on date of birth pretty tightly, and we had card-confirmed vaccination status obtained on a majority of the children who were enrolled. And here are the data for the vaccine effectiveness case control evaluation in both countries. And what you note is that the full series provided approximately 76% protection in El Salvador against admitted cases of rotavirus, lab-confirmed rotavirus, whereas in Nicaragua, the vaccine effectiveness was slightly lower at 44% against hospitalized rotavirus diarrhea. And so you see the same thing that we saw in trial, that there was some gradient of efficacy, of effectiveness that correlated with the income status of the country. Now, it still remains unclear exactly what sort of the reasons for the lower efficacy of these vaccines in the poorer countries, but it is an issue that is of importance to assess further. These vaccines, rotavirus vaccines, are similar to other vaccines, as you know, such as pertussis, in that they're more efficient against severe disease comparison to moderate and a mild disease. So we did look at this within the study, and we, amongst all children who were admitted to the hospital, we used a clinical severity scoring system known as the Vesicari scoring system. And we looked at children who were the most severe, children with a score greater than 15, as sort of a proxy for effectiveness against mortality. And you see that effectiveness was substantially higher in Nicaragua, was 77% against the most severe disease, and somewhat higher at 83% in El Salvador. What was the vaccine uptake in both of these countries? It was amazing. Compared to US, in these countries, soon after vaccine was introduced in EPI, most children who were age eligible for immunization were being vaccinated. In 2007, within a year of vaccination, 85% had received card-confirmed, had received vaccination among children who were under 1 year of age. And these data were similar for Nicaragua as well. So what happened to disease trends in these countries? To show you a slide from El Salvador, in El Salvador we were fortunate enough to have a surveillance system for diarrhea that was set up in place prior to vaccine introduction in 2006. And we had the surveillance system set up at 7 hospitals, large pediatric hospitals across the country, which pretty much captured nearly 50% of the diarrhea hospitalizations in the country among children under 5. And you note in 2006, there were nearly 1,800 diarrhea children with diarrhea who were admitted, half of whom had rotavirus disease. In 2007, it was similar. 50% had rotavirus disease, but within a year of introduction, when coverage was around 85%, you saw a marked reduction in lab-confirmed rotavirus disease, and this reduction persisted in 2009, although we did see some more cases of rotavirus in 2009 compared to 2008. And overall, there was approximately a 70 to 80% reduction in lab-confirmed rotavirus hospitalizations among children under 5. Now note that the coverage during these years was still pretty low amongst children under 5. It was high, 85% for children under 1, but very few people in 2000, very few children older than 1 were vaccinated in 2008, suggesting there might have been some indirect benefits to those older children from reduction of transmission in the community. So the second part of the talk, show you a few slides on whether vaccination would impact diarrhea mortality. This is something obviously that is difficult to assess in a clinical trial, you know, by virtue of the fact that children are enrolled in a trial, they have excellent follow-up, and it's unlikely that they would die within a trial setting. So it's very difficult to assess that. And it's something that we looked at in two settings. Today I'll show you data from Mexico, which was recently published in New England Journal of Medicine. In Mexico, they see approximately 1,800 diarrhea deaths through the verbal autopsy system among children under 5 years of age annually, and this was prior to vaccine introduction. In 2006 and 2007, Mexico introduced the monovalent vaccine in a phased manner, and by December 2007, nearly 75% of the children under 1 year of age in Mexico had received one dose of the monovalent vaccine. And we did a very simple comparison. We looked at data before and after vaccine introduction with regard to diarrhea mortality. And look what happened here to total diarrhea deaths after vaccination. Just to orient you to the slide, these data are from 2003 going through the rotavirus season in 2009. And these are all-cause diarrhea deaths. The red line are children under 1 year of age. The blue line depicts children 1 to 2 years of age. And the black is children older than 2 years of age. And you see that majority of the deaths do occur amongst children under 2 year of age. And you see a marked peak that occurs annually between the months of January through May. And this, while we don't have testing data on these deaths, these deaths occur when rotavirus is suspected to occur in Mexico during the months of January and May. And so vaccine was introduced right around May 2007 universally in Mexico. And look what happened in 2008 when coverage was right around 75% amongst under one. You saw a marked reduction, but you didn't really see much of a reduction in older children, second year of life, who remained unvaccinated. And it was reassuring that this reduction persisted in the 2009 season and extended to the older age group who were now vaccinated. So while, you know, these are ecologic data that certainly cannot be totally attributed to vaccination, I think the persistence of the reduction and the fact that the reduction occurred at a time when we expect rotavirus to cause the diarrhea deaths reassured us that this was probably related to vaccination. And so in summary, I would say that the rotavirus vaccination is making a substantial real-world impact against diarrhea hospitalizations and deaths in the Americas. And this story really has been one of good news, great news actually, but also has highlighted some areas of improvement for these vaccines. There's this gradient of protection that correlates with socioeconomic status, the reasons for which still remain unclear. And I think from these data, the take-home message is that when the vaccines are introduced in Asia and Africa, it should be promising with regard to hospitalizations and deaths, but there's also some challenges that we face with regard to performance in the poorest settings, which I think will require some further work. And of course, none of this work can be completed without, you know, a whole host of organizations, which I've highlighted here, including PATH, WHO, the Ministries of Health, and Gavi, who has funded some of the work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Manish. Now I would like to invite the audience, anyone who has any comments or questions, to please step up to the microphone and identify yourself and your affiliation, if you would, please. Now, while you're thinking about your questions, Manish, let me ask you one myself. Similar to pneumococcal disease, rotavirus has multiple serotypes, not all of which are specifically represented in the vaccine. In this instance, do we have to worry at all about the potential for replacement disease?
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, intentionally avoided that simply because of the time issues. No, to start off, because you use pneumococcal as a comparison, you know, data suggests that this vaccine is completely different, the disease is different than pneumococcal in that natural infection from one strain, we know, tends to provide a fair amount of cross protection against circulating strains that show up in subsequent seasons. And the same holds true for the vaccines. The trial data suggests that both vaccines provide reasonable protection against strains different from that in the vaccine. Predominantly, the concern is with the the Rotarix monovalent vaccine. Will it provide sufficient cross protection against others? And I think the data so far have suggested it does. With regard to strain replacement, I think, you know, that's something time will tell. The efficacy and effectiveness data suggest that there hasn't been a strain that's has had less effectiveness, but I think surveillance is certainly important.
Okay, any other questions from the audience? Don't be shy. Here we go, please.
Hi, do you have any information on what countries in Latin America plan to do about Rotarix, and if there are any plans for temporary suspension of Rotarix in those countries?
I presume this question is related to the circovirus issue with circovirus in PCV. I mean, the PCV detection in the Rotarix. The majority of the countries, PAHO has, and WHO have continued to recommend the vaccination, and most of the countries in the region have followed the WHO recommendation with regard to that. Panama is one country that I'm aware of which is using the monovalent vaccine and has suspended use of the vaccine until further, I think, discussions are held. But all other countries are continuing use of the monovalent vaccine. And it's important, you're right, because majority of the Latin American countries are using the monovalent vaccine, except for Nicaragua, which has used the pentavalent vaccine.
Okay, let's take one more question.
Hi, Claire Newburn from Philadelphia Department of Public Health. I have a question that's fairly related to Steve's question about strains and what strains were circulating in the two countries at the time, and were there any outbreaks of distantly related strains?
In Nicaragua and El Salvador?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So during the study period in El Salvador, which was using the monovalent vaccine, the predominant strain was G1P8, which is the same strain as the vaccine. And in Nicaragua, during the first year of the surveillance, the predominant strain was G2P4. One of the two components, G2, is in the pentavalent vaccine. There haven't been any surprises with regard to escape strains that we've noted in the surveillance in either one of the countries. And strain-specific effectiveness has been similar when we've looked at that.
Sorry, I didn't see you out there to the right.
No problem. Just briefly, I was wondering if you could speak to any data that you'd have on post-licensure efficacy in South Asia, where the burden seems so heavy.
Mm-hmm. As you know, South Asia, I mean, there's a host of, there's a wide range of socioeconomic status within that region. In Vietnam, the vaccine has performed well, 80 to 90% against severe disease. There haven't been trials from India. There's been trials from Singapore and trial from Bangladesh, where effectiveness was around 50%. So it's similar to the effectiveness data in Africa as well, where effectiveness is right around 50% for children in the lowest income categories, whereas in middle income countries like South Africa, it's right around 70%. So there's the same gradient that's existed for quite a while.